Let us turn in God's Word then to the Song of Solomon and the chapter 2. Now in the Song of Solomon, the bride on a number of occasions, she speaks about the voice of her Lord. And I want to draw your attention to two of those occasions whenever she speaks of that voice and in which she exclaims, "The voice of my beloved." And the first reference is in that portion that we read, chapter 2, verse 8. "The voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills." You know, congregation, Christ has a voice. The voice of the Lord Jesus. The voice of my beloved. He has a sweet voice. He has a lovely voice. The Bible says that grace is poured into his lips. His voice is full of grace, full of sweetness. His mouth is most sweet. You remember those who heard him, whenever they heard his voice, the Bible says they wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And all the officers who came to take him and had a spirit of opposition to him, they even had to say that never a man spake like this man. No one has a voice like him. And the disciples, especially in the upper room this last night, and particularly at the table, at this table, they really saw that night that his voice was sweet. There was a voice filled with love and filled with compassion and kindness. And so she's talking of that voice as a lovely thing, isn't she? It's not a cross voice, a harsh voice, a nasty voice. Ah, it's the voice of my beloved. Sweet voice. So the Lord Jesus has a sweet voice. The bride recognizes the voice. You see, this statement is a response. She hears a voice. She instantly recognizes it. It's the voice of my beloved. It gives an excited reaction. This is a reaction, you know. This is a response. And there's excitement in the response. There's gladness. She knows the voice. The voice of my beloved. You know, the Bible tells us that the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his sheep by name. And he leads them out. And the Bible also says they know his voice. That voice that called them in the gospel. That voice of grace that comforted them in the knowledge of the forgiveness of sins. Remember how he says that my sheep hear my voice, and I know them and they follow me. So here's an example of that. She hears his voice. She recognizes his voice. She's excited by the voice. She loves the voice. His voice is important to her. His voice changes her. His voice takes away the dark shadows. His voice causes the weeping to cease. His voice brings in the spring and brings in the singing of the birds and the great change that is portrayed in the outward circumstances. It brings in that because she has heard his voice. That's what it does. And that voice is in no better a place heard and expressed than here at the table. His voice is here tonight. You will notice that it is the voice of the coming one, because it says, "The voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills." He's the coming one. He's the leaping one. He's the one identified with the mountains and with the hills of Israel. He comes. And when he comes, she hears his voice. Christ is the coming one. He came into the world. He has come for his bride. He was born into this world. He lived and moved about in Palestine. He grew up in this place. Among these hills and among these mountains, He literally leaped upon them. He literally skipped upon the hills. You remember how he so often went into the mountains and into the hills to pray with his Father? Those were leaping times for him when he went to seek his Father's face. Many a time he went into the hill to be alone with his Father, praying always and seeking the sheep that were lost in the hills and in the mountains, skipping and leaping. The Lord was a hill man, you know. He went into the hills for us. Remember that parable that he told about the lost sheep? If a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, what does he do? He leaves the 99, and what does he do? He goes into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray. And here's the coming one. And where is he? He's where the lost sheep are. He's in the mountains. He's skipping and leaping. And when he finds them, that's what he does. He skips and he leaps. He rejoices. He's the coming one who came into the world to find sinners, that he might skip and leap for joy at their salvation. It's his voice, the voice of the coming one, and had spoken at the supper that night. And whenever he left the supper, he had leaped upon the mountains and skipped upon the hills all his ministry. And all the mountains and hills of Galilee and Israel knew this man. And Zion Hills especially. But he needed to climb only one more. Now near the end, he has one more hill to go this night. He has one more brow to ascend. Even the hill of Calvary. Even to the great heights of the cross, the last ascent, the last hill for the sheep that were lost. This is him, the voice of my beloved. And at the table, his voice speaks. And he spoke at the table that night, and this voice was heard. It's still the same voice. I'm drawing your attention to the grace of it. This is my body, which is broken for you. This is my blood, the New Testament in my blood. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you, for the remission of your sins. The message of the voice is a clear message. It's a message of love. The sweetness of the words are the sweetness of grace. It's a love feast. And they are so true. They are so true. This is my body. This is my blood. For you sinners. The table is Christ's voice, declaring his love for you. This is his voice. And the emblems are his voice. And the words that he speaks at the table are his voice. And all of that voice is declaring, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and with cords of love have I drawn you. He first loved us. And this table tells us this. And this voice he hears. It's exciting. It's comforting. You'll notice that she calls him who owns that sweet voice of love. She calls him her beloved. It's the voice of my beloved. You know, Christ is worthy of love for who he is and for what he did. And whenever you hear his voice at the table and what he did for us, he is worthy of our love. He loves us, but he must be loved back too, brethren and sisters. And he must be beloved by us. He is beloved by the Father, of course, but this is an amazing thing. He can also be loved by us sinners. His people's beloved. We sometimes think that we hardly dare say such a thing. My beloved. We hardly think that our love is even worthy of him. We sometimes think our love is so feeble and faint as hardly to be worth called love. Our love is varying and changeable. It's not like his. Our voice is sometimes growing and sometimes decaying, sometimes waxing and sometimes waning. It's nothing like his love. And yet we do love him. Feebly and faintly. Lord, it is my chief complaint that my love is weak and faint. Yet I love thee and adore. Oh, for grace to love thee more. And so we do call him our beloved. The voice of my beloved. Our love is like a little stream, ebbing and flowing, just a trickle, not like his, a mighty overflowing river, a mighty everlasting flowing river, breaking down and overpowering and overcoming and entering into so many lives and transforming them. His love is like an ocean, vast, boundless, deep and wide. And ours is just a little stream. But he is still our beloved. His love is marvelous and wonderful, and he accepts our little love for all that it is. Love divine, so great and wondrous, deep and mighty, pure, sublime, coming from the heart of Jesus, just the same through tests of time. Our love is not like his at all. But really and truly, he is our beloved. Not because of our flicker of love for him and our little desire, but because of his love for us. He has made himself our beloved. He has taken us to himself. He has married us to himself. And the feebleness of our love is of no concern to him. It will grow eventually. It will reach its pitch in glory when we see him face to face. But in the meantime, we do the best that we can, and we love him, and we seek more grace to love him more day by day, and we come to his supper that we may show him our love, and we abide here that he may stir our hearts as he had to stir up the heart of this bride, to stir her up to love him more, and we come here that he might thus do this in our hearts as we hear at the table the voice of my beloved. That's the first reference. The other reference is in chapter 5 and the verse 2, where the bride says, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. What a mighty verse. What a powerful voice that is. What sweetness, what love, what names he has for his bride. What things he has done for his bride as he comes to knock at her door. His love is great. His love is immense. And it's the same exclamation of the bride when she hears him, the voice of my beloved again. The same beloved, the same voice. You will notice from this second text, congregation, that the beloved is not only the coming one, he's also the knocking one. He knocks. The voice of my beloved that knocketh. And then you hear the voice. Knocking and the voice, they're coming together. Why is he knocking? Well, you know, congregation, that we're such poor, faithless saints, that the coming one must needs oftentimes come and knock at our door and waken us up. He must often come and, as it were, arouse us and stir us. We're so poor, we're so weak and faint, we're so feeble. We must often be revisited by him. We must often have him coming again and stirring and knocking and moving around us to revive us. This verse reminds us of the word to Laodicea, doesn't it? And I think the Lord Jesus must have had this word in mind when he spoke those words to Laodicea. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, do you see the same words occurring in the same verses? the Lord is talking about his voice. He has a voice, but he's also knocking at the door of this sleeping church, this careless church, this lukewarm church, this church that's not what it should be, that is not what it once was. He comes to knock at that door. The bride had to confess, "I sleep. But the voice of my beloved knocketh." We sometimes do sleep, brethren and sisters. We often become sluggish in the things of God. We sometimes even backslide. We get lukewarm. We become dozy and dreamy, careless and indifferent. We even seem to lock the Lord out by our sins. And the door seems bolted. But he is still our beloved. His love never changes, it never wanes. And he comes again. And he knocks, and this voice reminds us of his grace. And that's what we have at the supper tonight. Maybe you're cold in heart, maybe you're lukewarm. Maybe you're not what you were for the Lord. There's a voice here tonight to quicken you, to revive you. The voice reminds us of the love feast, of his love for us. And so the voice of the Lord will speak again to us, to melt us, to get a response, to awaken us, to say once more, "Ah, the voice of my beloved again. Don't you want to hear it again?" Sometimes mountains and hills seem to mount up again between us and the Lord. He seems distant and far, and things are between us. But at the table he comes again, the voice of my beloved, to assure us of his love. To tell us that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ. It's still the same voice, brethren and sisters. And so may you hear tonight at the table. I hope you've been able to hear it. I hope that you're able to go away and say, "The voice of my beloved, I heard it tonight." You know, we may have the table, and we have the word with the table, and we have the things on the table, and we have the words that were uttered around the table. But you need to hear the voice. The voice entering into your heart. The voice of my beloved. And so we need to hear his voice in the word and in the table, speaking to us and ministering to us. So tonight, congregation, listen carefully. Give ear to the gracious words that proceed out of his mouth, and believe, and say, "The voice of my beloved." Even pray, come Lord, and draw me, and cause me to hear thy voice. Cause me to hear thy voice. You know, that is how the book actually closes, the book of Solomon. If you turn to the last chapter and the last two verses, you'll see there that the bride says, "Thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken to thy voice. Cause me to hear it. Make haste, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of spices." This is how the book closes. There are all these companions of our beloved who are hearing his voice, who are enjoying his presence, who have his communion. And she's feeling left out, and she doesn't want to close the book being left out. She wants to close the book hearing that voice. Cause me to hear it. Make haste, my beloved. Cause me to hear your voice. And brethren and sisters at this table tonight, May the Lord cause us to hear His voice, for it is truly His voice when He says, "This is my body, it's broken for you. This is my blood, it is shed for you, for the forgiveness of all your sins." This is His voice. It is the voice of my beloved. Let us hear it. Let us heed it then, and let us be comforted by it, and let us be transformed through it as well, so that the sweetness of that voice enters into our hearts and makes us sweet and gracious too, like Him. Let us come then to the distribution of the tokens of our Lord Jesus. These tokens that He left us, these tokens of His everlasting love. Let us read the Word of God that deals with the emblems, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till He come.'"